Brag on it. Brag buttons. Represent your brand. At special events, for your business, your brand, anywhere and everywhere you go. Check us out at cbiztvmedia.com and click on the Brag tab. Hey, this is Irene. I've been waiting for you. Thank you for joining me, mixing it up with me right here on The Mix. You're listening to CBiz Media. Hey everyone, welcome to another 90 Day Fiancé chat. This time we're talking happily ever after. 90 Day Fiancé is a reality show that follows real life couples. One is from America, one is from a foreign country. They have to combine. They have about 90 days to be each other's fiance to the point where they get married so that they can get their visas and be integrated into American lifestyle. And that each country has their own separate rules, but for America is the 90 day fiance rule. So this is what the whole show is based off of. But the particular franchise of it, called Happily Ever After, follows couples that are either engaged or married and trying to see if they have that happily ever after lifestyle. What is it like, newly married couples? And of course, there's a question mark after that happily ever after. So for the fans, you guys know who I'm talking about, and all of these different people that are part of the program, part of the cast, and you know, this is their real life story. Big Ed and Liz, not a big fan of Big Ed. Big Ed is many years older than Liz, and he does have somewhat of a jerk factor. I've seen him in previous 90 Day Fiancé programming, and he does have a high jerk quality to me. He seems as if he's trying to do better with Liz, and they're getting close to that wedding day. But Liz's mom pulls him to the side. She's trying to make sure everything is what it is, as they kind of have one of their last family meetups before the wedding. And she, you know, lets Ed know, you know, Liz calls her and kind of vents as to different relationship issues they've had. They've had their ups and downs. They've broken up multiple times. She just wants to know he's going to take care of her baby girl. So mom has some great concerns. I'm glad that she confronted him about this. They seem to be on good terms at this point, and he appears to and is at least giving her the impression that he's working on himself and trying to be a better partner for Liz. Liz's daughter is in the picture. Liz says it's kind of annoying, and I completely agree with her. But I hope everything works out well for this couple about to tie the knot. Had a lot of ups and downs, and sometimes when I see that, I'm like, you know, sometimes people should, you know when to walk away. But you never know, maybe two dysfunctional people, two people that may be in some type of toxic scenario, maybe they can help each other, maybe they can work with each other in some type of way. They did go on 90 Day Fiancé Last Resort, which was a couple's retreat where they talk to therapists and whatnot to try to work on their issues. So at least they have kind of made that step, and hopefully that takes them forward to a positive future with Ed and Liz on their way down the aisle. Now I want to talk about Rob and Sophie. These two just made it down the aisle. They had their own issues, one of which Rob online cheating, looking at videos and things inappropriate and connecting with women that way. She recently found some things on his phone. He's saying, you know, he never updated his phone. He never deleted things in his phone. So I'm not sure what's true, what's real, what's not real. But I'm sure on some level there's some type of guilt connected with what's going on with them. Now, Sophie has her friend. I think his name is Calum. Yes, Calum. He's coming from Britain. And, you know, she's from Britain, a UK area, and Rob is the American. And, you know, Rob is already feeling funny about the fact she has a male friend. He's already kind of has his guard up on that. So he meets with the friend kind of reluctantly. Also, she has her other girlfriends there. They're all kind of scantily clad. I'm not sure where they're at, if some type of resort or someplace where they have a pool, but it's like an indoor place that they're in. And you know, they're kind of scantily clad. That right there, I'd feel funny about if I was a guy and, you know, her male friend is coming to meet her, but he knew what he was getting to. He knows this is the type of woman he's with, and she's kind of dressed like this anyway. Her friends were a little bit more to me, were doing a little bit too much, but that's another story. So Calum comes into the picture, and you know, it comes out that they used to date when they were like 16 or 17. Mind you, Sophie's only like 24 at this point. But Rob is thrown for a loop, shocked and surprised that these two dated. He feels like Sophie's betrayed him. He has to go take a walk. Then he pulls Sophie, comes back, pulls her to the side, say, you know, we need to talk. He kind of puts her on front in front of the friends. They go and start arguing. And next time we'll see Calum, he looks like he's going to come out and try to rectify things. I don't know if that's a good idea, Calum. You may be getting yourself into a brawl. I'm not really sure. But we'll see what's going to happen with that scenario. And the whole question is, should you bring old friends, especially opposite sex, or even someone you've dated around, your husband or your new partner? Is that okay? Is that a good thing? They've been having issues. They're still kind of in the middle of trying to resolve issues. Is this really a good time for her to meet up with her friend? Could she have put it off and said, you know, this isn't a good time for me and my husband. Let's do this at another time. Maybe she could have done something like that. But I think this makes for better watching. So I don't know if that's a part of the scenario of why this is happening. But these two have a lot of work to do. He's trying to equate his online cheating to her seeing an old friend that she used to date many years ago and not telling him that they used to date. That's not exactly 100% of the same, but I understand his issue with it. I do feel they're a little petty. They still play like young kids dating and getting to know each other and, you know, trying to one-up each other. So they have to become a married couple at some point and act married and kind of grow up and mature in this process. So I hope they get closer and closer to that and they're able to put some of these issues aside. Manuel and Ashley. Well, Manuel decides to take Ashley, his wife, who is a practicing witch, to a Catholic church, which is what his family practices. So, of course, that's going to be something interesting to watch. She doesn't know what the Bible is. It's sitting there on a pedestal, and she asks him, what is that book? I'm sorry, is she so far drawn from any type of religion that she doesn't know what the Bible is, the best-selling book in the world? I'm not sure if I can believe that. But she says she's never been in the Catholic Church, which is very possible. And after this service, the father comes up to them and chats with them. And, you know, he asks them questions. And it turns out they get to that question of, what is her religiosity? Now, I don't even know if that's a word, but this is what the father says. He says, so what is the religiosity? Because she kind of half tells him and says, it's not like this, but it is spiritual. So he's like, what is your religiosity? And I don't even know if that's a word, but I thought it was interesting to bring that up. And she basically tells him that what she practices, you know, he kind of gets down on his knees and takes a sigh because of where they're standing in the middle of the church, like in the front. And he kind of gets on his knees. I mean, he probably should pray, but he gets on his knees and he kind of sighs, and I guess he doesn't know what to say. Manuel says, I don't really want to tell my family about this. And the father, who is a priest, agrees, you know, the family may not take too kindly to, and they may judge her for her belief system and what she's practicing. So at this point, it's like, does Manuel continue to hide her witchy ways, so to speak. And she doesn't want to hide that from his family. She wants to be her true self. So it's kind of a debacle when you get with somebody that you know has complete opposite things going on than you do. It's a culture clash plus a faith clash. And what is that? And how do you deal with that? And how do you handle that? That's really the big question. And if you have to hide someone and hide certain aspects of your spouse or partner from others and people in your life that you care about, if there's certain things that you have to hide, is that a relationship that you should walk into in the first place? That's really a question that you should ask yourself. If you have such big differences, are they something that you can overcome? Then we have Nicole and Mahmoud. Also, they have differences as far as their spiritual beliefs. She did convert to being a Muslim, but it looks like she's recanting and deciding to be Christian. But really, it's more about her wardrobe and her fashion sense. She loves clothes and she does not want to just wear completely button-up things, have her hair covered, as people in the Muslim culture. So when Mahmoud comes to America and he locks eyes with a young lady that is dressed in his traditional culture of the way the women dress, she gets upset. It becomes a big argument, and the argument continues into this episode where they're supposed to go meet her friends, but he doesn't want to go. He doesn't like what she's wearing. She is covered. The back of her dress does have kind of an opening in the back, and I do kind of see, to me, I feel like I see some undergarments, but I don't feel that it's sexualized. It's maybe the way the dress is made. But he just doesn't like the way she's dressed, and he feels strongly that he's more connected to the dress and the tradition of women of his culture. And she's like, well, I can't even wear what I want to wear in my own house. But yeah, but you are going to be going out to meet your friends, so it's not just going to be in the house. And you are being filmed on camera for a TV program that comes all throughout cable, streaming, and etc. So you're technically in the public eye at all times. Seeing their age difference, which I didn't realize last time, he's only 31, she's 40. They've been together for years trying to work this thing out as far as her not being happy in Egypt where he's from. She's not happy with the traditional clothing and all of that. So to me, he's fairly young, and the age difference can play a part, I think. And he's used to his culture. He's also homesick at the time. It's a lot of things at play. So if they can't get this whole fashion thing together, maybe they can eventually work things out, but we'll see what's going to happen with these two. It's sad to see a relationship end over what someone is wearing. I think if there's promiscuous activity involved as well as with what the clothing options, then maybe there's a reason for things to end or some questions to be asked. I do think there could be a happy medium. She is a fashion designer, and she did say she was interested in making clothing for Muslim women, alternative style clothing that they may want to wear. And I feel like she should have continued on that path and tried to do something. And she could still do something, you know, maybe in the in-between that they could both be happy about. So hopefully these two can figure things out when it's all about the fashion. Kobe and Emily. Kobe is from Cameroon. He brings his wife Emily and the family up to meet his family. It was a heartwarming thing to see. You know, she's a white American woman, her and her family as well, and just being completely embraced by his Cameroon family, which is in Africa. So I think it's a beautiful thing. But, you know, Kobe's friends start questioning her, how she's controlling, how she's a white American, and how she's gonna basically take over the relationship. And it's against their tradition for really the woman to take over. The man is supposed to be the head and the lead. So his friends are putting that in his ear, trying to, you know, put questions on Emily. and kind of break up their happy vibe. They're supposed to remarry in Cameroon to make it official there in his country as well, and just out of the respect for the family. So that's kind of an issue with them. They're seeing her in a way as the enemy. Maybe they're putting that Karen complex on her. And he does admit she can be controlling. From what I've seen, it seems pretty harmless, but you know, every culture is different. And it's just, again, another thing of opposites attract. You have Manuel and Ashley, Catholic and witch, they're completely different. You have Nicole and Mahmoud when it comes to Muslim and Christian, but it's really more of the lifestyle and the dress and the attitude that's an issue for them. And we have total opposites here as well. And when you're in that type of scenario, if you chose this person, you kind of have to accept them in full or not. If you want them to be, you know, less controlling, let's talk about this before marriage, maybe. Let's talk about how we can respect each other and be on the same level with each other. And there are some chauvinistic practices in some other countries that I don't agree with. But again, it's between the couple. They can set the standard and say, you know, I don't feel comfortable with this type of attitude. I need to be able to have this type of freedom. Again, it's between you and the couple. And it feels like Kobe was cool with everything until, you know, he got the influence of his friends in his ear. So we'll see how things go with these two. I really don't think that they're going to break up their happy home, but I think it is taking a toll and having an influence on him at this time while he is with his family in Cameroon. And finally, with Jasmine and Gino, really, Jasmine is not going to be able to see her kids for a couple of years because of the way Gino filed the visa and the citizenship papers and not including the children. They talked to a lawyer, which cleared everything up and basically said they should have gotten a lawyer because it's going to be a 2-year wait for the children to possibly get there. Jasmine has been torn up about this since she heard the information. She also blames herself, as well as Gino blaming her, saying, you know, you should have, you know, taken some responsibility and been aware of this as well. I really can't totally put it on her because she is from another country and he was in charge of the paperwork. So he's kind of being cheap and saying, you know, the lawyer's going to be $5,000. He doesn't want to pay $5,000. He's going to continue to do the paperwork on his own. But the lawyer can possibly get the kids here sooner. So Jasmine kind of vents to one of Gino's relatives, his wife, and she's on her side. She's supportive. She talks to her husband, say, you know, can you talk to Gino about this situation? And I think it's his cousin. They do talk. But Gino still seems like he doesn't get the scenario. He doesn't get the importance of the children. And there's quite an age difference between them. He's a lot older than her. He's never had kids as far as I know. Now he wants her to have his kid. And, you know, to me, I feel like even though he seems to care about the kids and he said that they get along well, he doesn't see the importance of a mother being away from her children for a couple of years. To me, that doesn't make any common sense for you not to see the importance of that, especially knowing that you were a kid. And how would you feel if your mom was away from you from that stint of time? And I've also think of the scenarios of when, you know, being raised in a single parent family and my mom dating and the guys that would come around and try to be a part of her life. A lot of times they were trying to be a part of her life, and there were times where they were not even thinking about us. And I don't think Gino's like that, but you know, he has his wife, he has his cake, and he can eat it too. You know, the kids are like maybe a secondhand thought for him, even though he feels that they're important. So there are people, and there are men that may think that way. Even also, there are women that may think that way. It may be a similar scenario. They don't realize the importance of your kids. That's why it's kind of hard to be in a secondhand relationship. If your marriage fails or your relationship fails, then you're starting over with this new person that may not have the care and concern for your kids or your family that you have. So that can be a troubling scenario. At this time, he's thinking Jasmine just being emotional, but I can actually see her losing hair in the front, and you know, it's really just taking a toll on her. And I don't know why it's taking him such a time to get this whole scenario and situation and how it's taking a toll on her. Is he just being cheap and insensitive? And you know, what type of person is he? And she's even questioning that as well. And wanting to possibly go back home so that she can be with her kids and leave Gino there if that's something she can do. So, I mean, that will be her really her only alternative. If he's not able to get the kids there, what other option does she have? And will that separate them? It may separate them for a while. But I mean, getting back together is still a possibility. To me, again, the kids are of utmost importance. And I think that everything could be worked out around and surrounding that. But I think the kids need to be put first in this scenario. So it's a lot of things going on. Happily ever after, 90 Day Fiancé. These are real people's lives, real issues that they're having. And just aftermaths of relationships and things that you can think about when you start over, when you get a new partner and you have children, what is that like? When you have stark differences from your partner, how do you get through that? And how do you get your family to accept this? And how do you even accept this in all parts of the person that you're with? It can be challenging. It seems like some more work should be done before marriage, but again, you're kind of rushed when you're in the 90-day process. A lot of times these couples are only able to visit each other for so long and then return to their countries. So for them to have the everyday living experience, they only really have 90 days to do that before they marry. So it's kind of a rush against time, and then you have to kind of figure out how to live your life in the aftermath of that and what that looks like. So I do wish all the couples the best. I'm always rooting for marriage. We're always here for Faith, Love, and Trends right here on CBiz Media. We talk about 90 Day Fiancé. We also talk about other love-related reality shows and programs. We also have great guests as well. If you'd like to talk about anything related to Faith, Love, and Trends and be on the podcast, or if you'd like to even review some of this 90 day content or other love related programs with me, let's do it. I mean, we can even review movies as well. Again, anything that goes along the lines of Faith, Love, and Trends, we're up for it. Email me, Irene at cbiztv@yahoo.com. That's cbiztv@yahoo.com. We hope that you've kind of taken something away from this chat as we talk about relationships. And we're always rooting for love, marriage, and happy endings right here. In Jesus' name, all the best. Connect with you guys later. This is Irene. God bless.